you get the word repent and be baptized, repent and be converted, repent for the forgiveness of sin. You never find in the body of his message the word faith or believe. Always afterwards, you find the word faith or believe outside the body of his message. Keep that in mind. Now this, when Peter gives his longest message to Gentile believers, every time he preached to his Jewish brethren, what word always occurs? Repent. When he preaches to the Gentiles, the household of Cornelius in Acts chapter 10, you will look in vain for the word repentance occurring at all. It isn't there. But, to be consistent with what I told you, even though the word repentance is not in the body of his message, what do you think will occur after the message is over? Okay. Of course. Isn't it amazing? And for this reason, you look at it all, and you do not do as inconsistent and shoddy workmen do as they study the Word of God. Read one passage and say, this is the way of salvation. But what you have to do is to read all of the passages, every one of them. And then, having gathered all the material, then you have to define the material, and then you have to categorize the material, and after that, you can give an exposition of the material. Now, here is what I want you to understand, that you do not believe, and I do not believe, that any man can be saved apart from faith, because Hebrews 11:7 says what? Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And yet, the word faith in Peter's preaching, it occurs when a man is healed. He says, through faith in his name, he has perfect soundness. But he doesn't tell them to believe. I won't go into that now. He never tells them, his Jewish brethren, to believe. And yet, not one of us, and not even those who are of the Church of Christ who believe in baptismal regeneration, would tell us that Peter did not believe that men had to believe. Of course they have to believe. Well then, why doesn't he mention it? Keep that in mind for a moment. But turn to chapter 2 now, because I want you to see what I'm saying. In chapter 2, verse 41. In verse 38 he said, repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. But now look at verse 41. They then that received his word were baptized. It doesn't say they that repented were baptized, but they that received his word were baptized. And they continued and so forth. Now look at verse 44. And all that what? There it is. Did Peter tell them to believe? He didn't. No. But after they repent and are baptized, what are they called? Of course they are. And don't ask me, well, why did he do that? Don't ask me why. I am simply pointing out what is set before us. That Peter preaches repentance and baptism, and after they repent and are baptized, they are spoken of as believers. That is the important thing. They are believers. All right. Now, in chapter 3, let's look at verse 18 again. But the things which God foreshowed by the mouth of all the prophets, that his Christ should suffer, he thus fulfilled. Repent you therefore and be converted. The word means turn again. Repent therefore and turn again that your sins may be blotted out. But let me ask you, since chapter 2, has Peter stopped believing in baptism? Has he? Does he mention it? Of course not. And so you cannot look at one sermon that he preached and say, you have to be baptized, Peter always preached baptism. And you can't look at chapter 3, as some would say, Peter doesn't even mention baptism. In some chapters he does, in some chapters he does not. But what is missing is the word faith, verse 19. Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. No mention of faith. And now look at chapter 4. In chapter 4, Look at verse 3. And they laid hands on them and put them in ward unto the morrow, for it was now eventide. But many of them that heard the word did what? Believe. I told you, every time he mentioned repenting and being baptized, repent and be converted, repent for remission of sin. And after you have read the message that he gave, you will find that those who repented and were baptized, and those that repented and were converted, and those that repented for the remission of sin, also believe. Then you have to come to a conclusion. I'm not going to give it to you quite yet, but I hope that you're learning how to go about coming to something that will stand up from an examination of all the scriptures. If I only had chapter 2, I could preach baptismal regeneration. But I can't do it when I come to chapter 3 because baptism isn't mentioned. That's why. And I cannot give you the other doctrines that the systems have set up because Peter and Paul do not preach systematically. In one sermon, they emphasize this. In another sermon, they emphasize that. But because in chapter 3 baptism is left out, it does not mean that we're not to be baptized. And in chapter 2, because baptism is emphasized, it does not mean that it's so essential that it cannot be left out when Peter preaches in chapter 3. But I'm going to show you something that almost is Peter preaching, believing. Turn back to chapter 2. Chapter 2. And look at verse 20. Verse 14. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and spake forth unto them, saying, Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem. He's speaking to the Jews. And then he says, this is that, and he quotes from Joel chapter 2. And verse 21 of Joel chapter 2. Verse 21. And it shall be that whosoever shall do what? Call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so what does Peter also say men to do to be saved? What? Did he mention baptism? Of course not. And yet the very scripture that he quoted, who said this is that, he doesn't take verse 21 and preach it and continue on it. And yet he spoke these words, and you'll find that the apostle Paul will use these words later. Now, some, like Paul, will take Habakkuk 2:4, the just shall live by faith, and then he will give an exposition of it. But evidently, Apostle Peter says, this is that, and then he quotes the verse of scripture that I would emphasize, because if a sinner came to me and said, what do I have to do to be saved? I would say, call on the name of the Lord, and you shall be saved. And let God hold me to that, because I'm simply quoting the scripture. And from this, I want to show you other scriptures. You see now that Peter mentions repentance so often, at least 3 times. But he never uses repentance in the same combination in the 3 messages that he gives. In the last, he mentions repentance by itself. In the next last, he mentions repentance plus conversion. In the first, he mentions repentance plus baptism. But not once does he give us a system of doctrine. If he would tell us one thing 2 or 3 times, but he never does. And so this should be an encouragement to us and a lesson to us that we do not have to preach a cut and dry gospel message. I must say this word and I must say that word. When we do that, we have fallen into the trap of preaching a system of doctrine. Did Peter preach a system of doctrine? Of course not. He preached a great variety of doctrine. And I wonder if the brethren came and said, you didn't mention baptism in your sermon last night. And then he said, you didn't mention baptism and conversion in your sermon last night. Peter would say, I didn't have to. Because this is the solution. Salvation is in a man. At times, God emphasizes the man in whom salvation dwells. At times, God emphasizes what is to take place within the heart of man before he's saved. And what has to take place within before a man is saved? What? He said it 3 times. Repentance, exactly. And after a man repents, if he then submits to Christian baptism. I told you from verse 44 in chapter 2, he has believed because God calls him a believer. And so at times when God's way of salvation is presented in the book of Acts, Peter looks upon his audience, and if he could only do this, Peter and Paul and the other preachers in the book of Acts look upon their audience, and they do not give the same cut and dry message to every audience. I'm thinking of this. Here is Paul speaking to the Philippian jailer who is ready to commit suicide, and he says, "What must I do to be saved?" And Paul says, "Well, first of all, you have to be in earnest about things. You have to repent. Why, the man is at the point of death. It would be foolish to do such a thing." And in like manner, if I were speaking to that poor publican that's in the temple, smiting upon his breast, saying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner," you think I should preach him a message on repentance? Should I? Of course not. Why? That's what he's doing with all his heart. He's saying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." Why? The man is repenting. What I would do is to preach to him faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But tell me this. When John the Baptist saw these hardened, hypocritical Pharisees coming to his baptism, what did he say to them?
He said,
"You offspring of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Now bring forth fruit worthy of repentance." Why did he say that? Exactly, that's what they needed. And it's not that there are different ways of salvation, but thank God that these men knew their audiences. And that is why if people are here that have gone to church and they have religious leanings, I'm going to preach to them from Luke 18, or where I did last week. Two men went into the temple to pray. One of them, a Pharisee, and he said, "God, I find this and I'm not as other men." That's what I'm going to preach to religious men. But if a man who isn't church, who isn't religious, who is a hardened sinner, if he comes in here, I'm going to preach repentance, conviction of sin. And it is not that I'm inconsistent. It is that I am consistent, because the Apostle Paul tells what the whole of preaching manward is. Manward, inwardly, it is repentance toward God and faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. You repent inwardly, and then you embrace the Savior that is openly set forth before your eyes, crucified. The inward, the outward response. And then the outward evidence of an inward change is submission to Christian baptism. And the word conversion, it really means, it's the same word, and remember this, the Lord Jesus said, if somebody smites you on one cheek, turn the other. This is the word conversion. Repent and turn. You've been walking in one direction, but once you have repented, turn, and it is an outward evidence that you have repented and have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want to show you this quickly. Turn to chapter 5, and look at verse 31. It says, "Him did God exalt with his right hand to be a prince and a savior to give repentance to Israel and remission of sins. And we are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God hath given to them that what?
Obey him.
Any repentance there? Any conversion? Any believing? Then to do what? Obey him. And so it says, God commandeth men everywhere to repent. And therefore, salvation is the result of a man being obedient to the commands of God. Notice, them that obey him. Now, another scripture. Look in chapter 6. Chapter 6, verse 7. Listen carefully. "And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem exceedingly, and a great company of the priests were," what? Obedient to what? Here is the word faith. They were obedient to the faith. Now, in the other chapter, they obeyed God. God commands men everywhere to repent. The faith is probably the gospel. And the preaching of the apostles is that they should place their faith in Christ. And so in chapter 6, we read that they were obedient to the faith. And so they preached the faith, as well as repentance, as well as conversion. They preached all of these things, but in one message they emphasized this because of the audience. In another message they emphasized that because of the audience, according to the leading of God. And so let not you and let not me stereotype preaching and make it always the same and be suspicious of somebody if he does not always preach the same thing, because Paul did not and Peter did not. Now the time is gone. You have to stop and pray. Now, Father, we are thankful that however the truth of God is presented, that the truth of God is always centered in thy Son, the Lord Jesus. In none other is there salvation. There is none other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. We are thankful, Father, that men ought to repent and to be converted and to turn and to be obedient because of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so let us realize these things, our Father, and let us not be stereotyped, but let us, if thy Spirit leads, at times tell people they need to repent, and then tell them that they have to prove that they've repented and believed by being baptized, that they need to change their lives, to turn and walk in a different direction. And let us not be afraid, because we have these examples set forth in thy word. And yet let us, from looking at them all, realize that there is but one way of salvation. It is in thy Son, the Lord Jesus, and there is repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ, even though it's expressed in such a great variety of ways. And so let us be Christians that have minds that take in all the Word of God and understand them. Bless us to defend, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen.